Epic Aircraft to get $200 million from one investor. Boeing may face further delays for the Dreamliner, and the GAO is still on the Air Force about CSAR. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Tuesday, September 4th, 2007. Rumors began to fly when Kingfisher Airlines CEO Dr. Vijay Mallya made a surprise appearance at Epic Aircraft's press event in Oshkosh 2007. Now, in a report which appears to confirm those rumors, the Mint newspaper says on Monday that the flamboyant airline exec plans to invest $200 million in Epic. Mallya this weekend would say only he's in talks with an Epic promoter. An unnamed source told the paper, quote, Mallya recently flew to the U.S. in his private jet and met Epic Aircraft CEO Rick Schrammeck to sign this deal, unquote. If it's true, the investment would amount to a significant shot in the arm for Epic as it works to transition from a fledgling home-built aircraft manufacturer to a producer of certified turboprop and turbofan aircraft. The company, which is based in Bend, Oregon, plans to obtain first its Canadian certification for the Dynasty, Elite, and Victory, as well as its proposed Escape turboprop, before pursuing FAA approval. Mallya rose to prominence as a former chairman of United Breweries, India's largest brewer and the second largest in the world. The investment in Epic is said to be a personal one, not on behalf of Kingfisher or United Breweries. The Seattle Times reported Saturday further delays may be in store for Boeing's much-anticipated 787 Dreamliner. The company will reportedly announce on Wednesday that the first flight of the 787 could be pushed into late October or later, according to a source close to the program. Systems integration issues are blamed, and a source described as a Boeing engineering veteran says the rush to make the marketing-inspired July 8, 2007 rollout, a date also known as 787, required that the display model be taken back apart after the party. Boeing's Yvonne Leach said, quote, We have in place contingency plans that would protect the planned May 2008 first delivery in the event that the date of first flight moves, unquote. But, she added, that official first flight date is still on the calendar for this month. Quote, The plan is the plan until we know for sure we're going to change the plan, unquote. Score one for Lockheed Martin and Sikorsky as those manufacturers attempt to overthrow the selection of Boeing for a lucrative U.S. Air Force contract. On Thursday, the Government Accountability Office sided with protests lodged by the two companies in June and recommended the Air Force allow revised proposals in its competition for a new combat search and rescue helicopter. The GAO resolution is non-binding, but recommends Sikorsky and Lockheed be allowed to include technical and cost information in order to match changes in the U.S. Air Force's revised selection criteria. The recommendation is meant to place all three bidders on a level playing field, something those manufacturers contend wasn't done last November when the Air Force selected Boeing's HH-47, a variant of the Chinook, over Sikorsky's HH-92 and Lockheed's proposed variant of the US-101. The contract to replace aging Sikorsky HH-60G Pavehawks is worth at least $15 billion. As you might imagine, Boeing said it was extremely disappointed with the GAO decision to sustained protests against a contract the company thought it had sewn up last year. An extensive new federal background check has some employees at the Jet Propulsion Laboratory seeing bureaucratic red. A group of 28 employees filed a lawsuit against NASA and the California Institute of Technology on Thursday, challenging the new background checks instituted after 9/11. The suit says the checks violate employees' constitutional rights by asking all employees, from janitors to visiting professors, to grant permission for the government to investigate everything from financial records to medical records to sex lives, or lose their jobs. Or, as plaintiff Susan Foster puts it, quote, They don't tell you what they're looking for, they don't tell you when they're looking for it, they won't tell us what they're doing with the data, unquote. The Associated Press reports JPL employees were told they have until September 28th to authorize the background checks or be considered voluntarily terminated as of October 27th. The hearing for a preliminary injunction is scheduled September 24th. Attorney Dan Stormer said the forms would allow investigations into personal lives for 2 years after leaving a job at JPL. JPL spokeswoman Veronica McGregor said the agency would have no comment on matters in litigation. Up next on ANN, another 737 is found to have a problem with slat hardware. Sir Richard Branson says his four engine days are behind him. And Dubai Aerospace starts backing away from its Auckland deal. You're listening to Aero News.
Higher, faster, farther, safer. Those are the watchwords of Columbia Aircraft Manufacturing's new generation of personal airplanes. The Columbia 400 is a fire-breathing turbocharged four-seater that carries 1,100 pounds and cruises 235 knots with a next-generation Avidyne or Garmin electronic cockpit to show you the way. As high as flight level 250, way above most weather, and a max range of 1,300 nautical miles, the Columbia 400 is the kind of plane you deserve, whether you're a businessman on the go or a Sunday flyer in a hurry to his next great adventure. To schedule a demo flight in a Columbia 350 or the turbocharged 400, call 541-318-1144. Check them out on the web at flycolumbia.com. Do you think the only time your certified airplane can be equipped with a full emergency airframe parachute recovery system is when it rolls off the production line? Well, think again. BRS is the aftermarket leader in providing full airframe recovery parachutes for certified airplanes like yours. We manufacture the reliable parachute systems you need for a full range of aircraft, including Cessna. For your own safety and for that of your family members and loved ones, get the extra life assurance of a BRS airframe recovery parachute. In the event of an emergency, you'll never question the security of having one final option. Call BRS at 651-457-8651 or visit us online at brsparachutes.com.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for September 4th, 2007. On the web, you can find us at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. The AP is reporting another case of a newer Boeing 737 with a hardware issue in a wing slat. Found in a check conducted after a China Airlines 737 suffered a fuel leak and explosion thought to be caused by a loose bolt. This time it was an Air Nippon 737-700, in which workers found a missing washer, which could have allowed a wing slat bolt to come loose. In the China Airlines incident on August 20th, a 737-800 at Okinawa's Naha Airport was evacuated safely just seconds before its burning right wing exploded in a fireball. The plane was destroyed, but there were no injuries. Investigators found that a bolt on the right wing slat had come loose and punctured a fuel tank. Three parts were later found near that fuel tank, including a washer. Investigators have not determined whether the bolt came loose for lack of the washer. Boeing declined comment but renewed its statement that the company is examining the plane's design and production to find a cause for the fire. On Friday, Virgin Group's Sir Richard Branson announced that Virgin's days of buying four-engined airliners are over, at least once current orders are filled. Reuters reports the airline will still fly its current fleet of 38 A340-300s, at least until the scheduled replacement of 15 of those planes with fuel-efficient Boeing 787 Dreamliners. And the carrier's order for six Airbus A380 Super Jumbos will also stand. But as Virgin's older airliners are phased out, the carrier will replace them with twin-engine planes, which offer far better fuel efficiency and, in many cases, equal carrying capacity. Branson's announcement is a 180 from the company's previously expressed preference for the safety margin offered by four engines. Quote, global warming has become a priority, but it also makes good economic sense to be eco-friendly. We've just announced the 787, which has two engines, unquote. As ANN reported, Virgin is also collaborating with Boeing and GE Aviation to develop biofuels, which could be used in the airline's remaining four-engine 747s. Citing a legal technicality in its merger agreement signed in July with leaders of Auckland International Airport, Dubai Aerospace Enterprise set the stage to back out of its $1.8 billion offer to take over New Zealand's busiest airport. Forbes reports Dubai Aerospace alerted the airport Thursday to an apparent breach in the contract agreement due to Air New Zealand's recent request for a judicial review of new landing charges imposed on airlines flying from Auckland and Wellington International Airport. Some observers, however, believe that was a technicality seized as an opportunity to pull out after strident political criticism within New Zealand. Local opposition among citizens is also an issue. The New Zealand Herald reports recent polls show 80% of Auckland residents are opposed to the deal. And then there's also Auckland's bottom line, down 11% in 2007, which is what prompted the calls for higher fees in the first place. Bell Helicopter told ANN last week the company's second 429 prototype recently completed its maiden flight and has entered Bell's flight test program. Bill Stromberg, who is executive director of the 429 program, said the aircraft continues to meet or exceed requirements. Quote, this second aircraft will allow us to increase the pace of our test program as we progress toward our first deliveries late next year. We completed safety of flight testing and expansion of the flight envelope about 1 month faster than anticipated, and did not encounter unexpected design issues in this testing. The two aircraft will depart in September for hot and high testing in Colorado and Arizona, and first flights by pilots from the certification authorities, unquote. The 429, manufactured at Bell's production facility in Mirabel, Quebec, currently has an order backlog of over 200. Bell projects the 429 will achieve FAA and Canadian certification simultaneously next year. Still ahead, a logger finds parts of a 35-year-old plane wreck. The Space Elevator Games are coming next month to Salt Lake City. And here's restricted airspace you really don't want to bust. You're listening to Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We give them an ingenious new interpretation, the Cirrus SR20 GTS. Go ahead, indulge yourself. The SR20 GTS provides entry-level luxury into the world of Cirrus, yet at a price that makes indulgence affordable. When friends, family, and business associates experience the versatility, freedom, and sheer fun of flying in your Cirrus, they'll see that it maximizes the most precious commodity of all, time. To learn more, call 888-750-9922. Or check us out on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design. One reason that they can say that is because of Clarity Aloft's flexible boom arm. This featherweight band is the same one sported by stage musicians and performers the world over. Balance and comfort are the result of its elegantly simple design. The mic boom is easily repositioned for eating and drinking during flight without disturbing your earpieces. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Tuesday, September 4th, 2007. I'm Paul Plagg. The AP reports that corroded aircraft parts found by a logger in a wooded area of north-central Wisconsin have been identified as belonging to a light plane that went down in heavy thunderstorms there more than 35 years ago. The local newspaper, the Tomahawk Leader, provided deputies with copies of news stories of the 1971 crash. According to published reports, the 33-year-old man and 30-year-old woman on board died in that crash. A sheriff's spokesman told the AP the area is so densely wooded that debris can end up scattered over a large area. The U.S. city that hosted the 2002 Winter Olympic Games will be the site of an entirely different sort of competition next month. From October 19th through the 21st, more than 20 teams from around the world will compete for a total of $1 million from NASA in the Space Elevator Games. The Beam Power Challenge and Tether Challenge will take place at the Davis County Event Center in Salt Lake City, Utah. Ken Davidian, program manager for NASA's Centennial Challenges, says, quote, "The innovations from these competitions will help support advances in aerospace materials and structures, new approaches to robotic and human planetary surface operations, and even futuristic concepts," unquote. The SpaceWord Foundation is conducting the challenges as part of the Space Elevator Games at no cost to NASA. The Beam Power Challenge requires teams to design and build a climber machine that can travel up and down a ribbon while carrying a payload. Power will be beamed from a transmitter to a receiver on the climber. Each climber must scale a height of about 330 feet, traveling at a minimum speed of 2 meters per second, competing for a $500,000 purse. The Tether Challenge is looking for super strong tethers that could be used in rocket weight reduction, habitable space structures, solar sails, or tether-based propulsion systems. The winners must demonstrate a technology at least 50% stronger than a baseline state-of-the-art tether that uses off-the-shelf materials and is also being conducted for a $500,000 purse. The space elevator is technology first proposed in the 1960s, comprised of a stationary cable moving in unison with the Earth, with one end anchored to the surface of the planet and the other end in space. Electric cars would then travel up and down the cable, carrying cargo and people. Centennial Challenges, which is an element of NASA's Innovative Partnerships Program, promotes technical innovation through prize competitions to support NASA's mission, including the return to the moon and journey to Mars. An auto-rotating horizontal wind turbine system that would hover in the jet stream, generating electricity, is an idea credited to Australian Professor Brian Roberts in 1979. The device is now being developed by San Diego-based Sky Wind Power, headed up by David Shepard, who started his career cracking Japanese military codes in World War II, according to CNN. Shepard had been studying the power-producing potential of high-altitude winds for some 20 years when he heard about Roberts' gyromill prototype. They combined their efforts in 2002, and the FGE, for flying electric generator, was born. Shepard notes that winds in the jet streams are both stronger and more consistent than those near the Earth's surface. He says 43 of these farms, with 600 FEGs each, would generate enough power to sustain the entire U.S. and require reserving less than 1/400th of U.S. airspace, all at relatively remote locations not on airway routes. The electricity would be carried to the ground through a tethering cable made of aluminum. GPS technology would be used to allow the machines to hold position. CNN reports FEGs would generate electricity at about 2 cents per kilowatt hour versus 3 to 5 cents for conventional generation schemes. As for malfunctions causing the machines to fall, the company predicts a safety record comparable to airliners, then adds, quote, "and FEGs don't take off or land at airports teeming with people in and around them," unquote. And finally, people seem to go a little nuts at auctions sometimes, especially online ones. But a Sydney man who's paying $123,000 Australian to be the first passenger on the first commercial flight of the Airbus A380 makes it sound like a very sensible purchase. Julian Hayward compares the occasion to the maiden commercial voyages of the 747 and Concorde. He told Australia's News Limited, quote, "I'm extremely excited to have the opportunity to be the first ever passenger on such a large feat of engineering, and even better, that charities are benefiting from the maiden flight," unquote. The first class ticket for the one-way flight on Singapore Airlines, from Singapore to Sydney, was the first to be sold, of 520 seats being auctioned off for that October 24th flight. Proceeds will benefit Medicines Sans Frontiers, that's a Singapore Airlines charity, and two Sydney Children's Hospitals. Hey, wait a minute. That's a one-way flight. How much are they going to charge Hayward to fly him back home? That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today in my weekly talk with CFI Bob Miller, we'll look at the case of a pilot who got into trouble trying to make a VFR approach at the end of an IFR flight, and discuss when GPS direct is not the best way to go. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and our website, www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.